The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Martha Potter from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State Magazine. Today's reading of Our State Magazine is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974 and underwriting this podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. In this episode, we'll dig deeper into the March issue of Our State Magazine, which is all about the foothills. The gently rolling landscape extending west of the Piedmont and east of the Blue Ridge Escarpment, where the land begins to rise, is home to a region that's not quite mountains and not quite plains. It's a place in and of itself, rich with a culture all its own. And the little inset here, against a backdrop of Wilkes County foothills, beef cattle graze on the 200-year-old family farm outside Sunset Fiberworks in Trayville. And it's a cow's level photograph showing cows looking over at the cameraman going, what's going on there? Or camera lady, one or the other. And then just the foothills in the background all covered with trees and green, as is the theme here, it seems like. Back in the saddle again. At a vacation getaway in Wilkes County, a rider finds peace and serenity in the company of horses. Abby Hanshee fell in love with riding at age 9 and made it a family affair. That's when everybody's lives changed, she says, when horses became a part of it. Now she and her blue roan mare, Della, welcome riders of all ages to Leatherwood Mountain Resort. And we have a picture of Abby in front of her barn. This is West Barn at the top. There must be more than one barn. And there are, to the right, or to the left, rather, there are a group of riders cantering off. And then there's the mountain resort is in the background. And in the foothills below, right beneath the mountains in a little valley. And the foothills are covered in green. My horse and I cross a little stream and follow the narrow path out of the woods. The leaves of the trees that flank the meadow turn sassy with wind that shoves the sun in and out of clouds. As we poke along, I watch our shadows dart and lengthen and disappear beneath us. One hoof kicks up a rock, and birds startle and flutter. There's a vaguely sweet, vaguely smoky scent of leather, a slant of sunlight you want to follow because it might lead to a rainbow. The space beneath my horse's mane is warm, and I rest a hand there, feeling the rhythm of his gait. And everywhere I look, there's a sense of tremendous. Hills, sky, the boundless freedom and sanctuary of a wide open elsewhere. At such moments, sitting atop a horse can make you feel like bursting into song or prayer or a gallop. Trevor Whitson and Abby Smith Hanshee, co-owners of Leatherwood Mountains Resort, know this feeling well. The two business partners, friends since childhood, grew up riding horses together. Now they welcome vacationers to the hills of Wilkes County. Among its many offerings, hiking and riding trails, fishing, swimming, tennis, and pickleball courts, a zip line, a playground for children, Leatherwood is, above all, an equestrian community. Meaning you can take your horse on vacation with you if you have a horse. If you don't, the folks at Leatherwood can set you up with one for a guided trail ride or for a riding lesson or two. I've been dreaming of an excursion to a place like this for a long time, maybe since my girlhood a couple hundred years ago, when I was in love with horses and rode them full throttle. Like many young riders, I eventually took a different path. But for the lucky few like Hanshee and Whitson, horses are a way of life from the moment they hit the saddle, and Leatherwood is a testament to this enduring devotion. The Leatherwood story began in 1985 with love of horses front and center. Original developer Dick Johnston envisioned a community around trail riding, and he put covenants in place that granted easements for that purpose. In developing the extensive network of trails, he designed vistas reminiscent of the Blue Ridge Parkway, inspiring overlooks, split-rail fences with pastures, pristine acres of sloping woodlands. Meanwhile, Hanshee began riding horses as a 9-year-old in Clemens. Her parents and Whitson's parents were old friends from college who vacationed together at Leatherwood, bringing their families and horses along. In the early 1990s, while a student at Appalachian State University, Hanshee got her first job at the resort, mucking out stalls, guiding trail rides, and giving riding lessons. Whitson's dad, Phil, had become Leatherwood's lead real estate agent, and when Johnston decided to sell the development, he and general manager Phil Rash formed a partnership and bought it. Hanshee continued working there after college and credits Rash as her mentor in running the business. Whitson soon joined his dad in real estate sales, and when the two Phils decided it was time to pass the torch, he and Hanshee formed their own partnership and bought the place, a decision made with mind and heart. Today, Leatherwood encompasses approximately 4,000 acres, 50 miles of trails, and 135 homes, about 45 of which are part of a rental program with some stalls for visiting horses. Together with Leatherwood Property Owner Association, Hanshee and Whitson preserve the rugged beauty that inspired Johnston's original vision. Even the most luxurious homes are imbued with rustic charm and tucked into natural landscapes that respect the curvatures of the hills. Early one morning, as I head down the mountain to meet Hanshee at the stables, I encounter the first wild turkeys I've ever seen. Regal, lean as pheasants, silver and brown, a pair stride gracefully across the road as if they've just stepped out of a storybook. The woods glimmer the yellowing green of a golden delicious apple. It's so quiet you can hear the sigh of a leaf falling as it settles to the earth. At the stable, Hanshee halters her blue roan mare Della and hands me a brush. I lose myself in the silky motion of grooming a horse who stands as still as a princess being fitted for a ball gown. Della has the same markings as Hanshee's first heart horse, called Blue Solitude, a steely blue coat that looks lightly frosted and sometimes changes to dark gray, depending on the season. Like Blue Solitude, she also has a white blaze on her forehead. But it's still difficult for Hanshee to talk about Blue, who died in 2010. He was a gentle giant, a 17-hands-tall Tennessee walking horse that Santa brought her when she was 10 and who quickly became her dearest friend and confidant. They were a prize-winning team at horse shows as well. Horses are the best listeners, Hanshee says. They hear and perceive everything. Della is not a replacement for Blue, she explains, but her sweet demeanor is a reminder of the necessary gladness that comes from finding a horse you can talk to. It's time for Della's adjustment session with Dr. Morgan McCaskill, a chiropractor certified to treat animals. She gets right to work, tugging a front leg, leaning on a flank, her hands often seeming to disappear into Della's neck muscles. Della blinks her large, dark, dewy eyes, unfazed, an admirable patient. A barn hand readies my horse, called Jericho, a tall but kind-looking light bay appendix quarter horse. I haven't been on a horse in, golly, 30 years, and the days of slinging myself into the saddle without a mounting block are long gone. What if I've forgotten how to hold the reins? But I haven't. I'm here to testify that no matter your age or infirmities, a lilting ride on a good pleasure horse is tonic for all that ails you. Hanshee, riding a lovely buckskin mare named Bess, leads the way. We pass the Hendricks home place, a historic log home with a swath of emerald lawn where weddings and other special events are held. We thread a path in and out of the woods, where I observe leafy flashes of dark green, garnet, ruby, yellow topaz, and copper, as if the trees are trying on jewelry. Riding beneath a canopy of trees is like being in a cathedral, Hanshee says. We speak of the reverential feeling one often experiences in nature when on horseback. What is it about being with horses? Their docility and compliance, despite their powerful size, is humbling. I think riding them calms my urgency, opens my senses, helps me stay in the moment and genuinely notice my surroundings. Hanshee says just being with horses makes her feel soulful. We talk about our similar girlhoods when caring for horses meant everything. Whereas my devotion became fragmented and ebbed, Hanchi's remained central to her life. It is possible. Is it possible these days for young girls to experience the totally absorbing, wild and woolly freedoms of barn life the way we did? All I know for certain is that being atop Jericho in the here and now among the trees feels like true respite from a dizzying world. The horse-loving vision of Leatherwood's creators and the devoted involvement of its heirs with their deep ties to the community combined to create an enduring legacy. Leatherwood is a getaway run by folks who value time spent with family, lifelong friendships, and the beauty of the natural world, as well as a chance to see it all astride a horse. Although the work of running the resort can be overwhelming at times, Whitson and Hanchi say they're both in it for life. "I came here as a girl, fell in love with the place, and have never left and won't," Hanchi says. Many of their staff members have been there for decades as well. Whitson's young daughter now rides with him on trails he grew up exploring. On weekend evenings at Saddlebrook, Leatherwood's on-site restaurant, with a local band playing and a gathering of congenial patrons, Hanchi and Whitson feel plenty lucky and thank the abundant stars above. The sign on the porch of the Welcome Center reads, "Hike, ride, fish, play, get away." Clearly, Leatherwood is not just for horse lovers. There's a range of activities to enjoy and adventures to be had. But for many homeowners and visitors, the true prize is the act of getting away and simply being in a lovely elsewhere. In the evening, after settling into my cozy horse-themed cottage on Ten Horn Road, I wander downhill to a little barn and paddock. A dark bay quarter horse with a small white star on his forehead is lipping at weeds. The cottage owner, Rosette Jefferson, had been told that I'm a horse lover and kindly left Moo there as my roommate, sort of. He'll sleep outside, of course. I stay with Moo a long and meditative time, watching night descend and darken the ridgeline. The silence is so profound that I imagine I hear, somewhere in the woods, a baby black bear yawning. Where the sun has disappeared, the sky remains the palest mauve, the twilight above deepening to indigo. It will be a perfect night to see the stars. Stars here, I've been told, are as magical as the horses. But a big, bossy spotlight of a moon takes over the sky, so bright I can see my shadow. In the distance, no other light appears, either from a star or from civilization. I'll drop into bed early. There's a television, but why? There's my laptop, but why? How serene it feels to unplug, to listen to the trees and the wind in the hills, and to gaze at the moon for one's news. Did I say there were no stars out tonight? Moo, my dear companion, tilts his head toward me, and I see the little star on his forehead, winking in the moonlight. I'm reluctant to leave him, but soon it's time. Good night, mountains. Good night, Moo. And I'll go back and tell you a little bit about some of the pictures in this article. There's a picture of on a trail ride with looks like five or six horses and riders going along. They're crossing over a little shallow brook, stony brook, and in the midst of the trees. There's an 1840s log cabin called the Hendricks Home Place, where they have special events that are held. And there's the Saddlebrook Restaurant. There's a little band. There's picnic tables and rough-hewn chairs out and a deck and a little place for a band to play. A band is playing there. And then it's there's just the stables here. So it says guide tips are appreciated. Horse parking only for the little in front of the stables for the horses. And says some renters turn into buyers, and the community is currently home to about 30 full-time residents. Renters usually want mountain views, whereas residents tend to like the convenience of lower elevations. Being in the foothills, Leatherwood offers both. Our next article is entitled Right at Home. At Fairfield, the quiet giant of Lenore, Furniture is a family tradition. The white tulip table where Ann Lindsay Beale eats lunch has an iconic profile with a touch of whimsy, blending the past with the present in elegant style. She's sitting in the boardroom of Fairfield, the 104-year-old furniture company her great-grandfather started in Lenoir. But this isn't a typical corporate setting. Instead of overlooking a factory or towering in a high-rise, this boardroom is in a former apartment in the historic Fairfield House, finished in 1829 by Ann Lindsay's great-great-great-grandfather, James Harper. It's the same house where, growing up, she spent Friday nights with her grandparents, and the same room where she used to sneak chocolate chip cookies from her great-aunt, Mary Lindsay, her namesake. We had all of our July 4th picnics at this house under the walnut tree, Ann Lindsay recalls. The kids would pick up those nasty green walnuts and throw them at each other. I was in and out of this house my whole childhood. Now she's in and out of the house as the fourth generation of leadership for Fairfield, a company that employs some 500 people in Lenoir. In its two plants, including a 1912 factory building located just a block from Fairfield House, it produces an average of 2,000 unique pieces of furniture, of upholstered furniture, a week. Quite an accomplishment, considering that between 1999 and 2009, North Carolina's furniture industry lost more than half its jobs, and competitors like Barnhart and Broyhild stopped manufacturing or closed their Lenoir plants. With its enduring commitment to Caldwell County, Fairfield stays afloat and continues to make 80% of its products domestically. Even during the pandemic, employees produced masks and gowns in order to keep the doors open. The black walnut tree, estimated to be more than 250 years old, still stands tall outside the home. And the Bell, B-E-A-L-L, pronounced Bell, family, still keeps its delivery trucks filled as it supports the community it loves. Ann Lindsay's family has been investing in Lenoir since before the town's inception. It was James Harper who donated 30 acres to the group that established Lenoir in 1841. Originally from Fairfield, Pennsylvania, he'd moved to the area for health reasons and opened J. Harper & Sons and Son, a general store. As the family put down roots, the region was steadily building a reputation for making furniture, thanks to its abundance of hardwoods, local craftsmanship, and low-cost labor. Many Foothills residents made the switch from farming to earning steady wages offered by factory jobs, and by 1900, 44 furniture factories were operating in High Point and surrounding areas. One of those factories, the Ethel Chair Company, went bankrupt in 1921, and James Harper Bell Sr., Ann Lindsay's great-grandfather, saw an opportunity. As president of Bank of Lenoir, he bought the company. He recapitalized, renamed, and launched it, with his main impetus being to keep jobs in Lenoir. James Harper Beale II ran the company after that, priming his son, James Harper Beale III, Bell III, and Lindsay's father to be president. Harper got his start at age 16, sweeping the floors, loading lumber, and cleaning out the boiler, one of the oldest in the state. He worked his way up and spent more than 40 years at Fairfield before his death in 2019. Just like his father, Harper knew his employees by name, and when he asked how they were doing, he stuck around to hear the answer. Cleta Bennett pauses in reverence before sharing the kind things he did for her. An employee for nearly 30 years, some of those as Harper's executive assistant, Bennett remembers how he paid for her family to fly to Colorado to attend her father's memorial service. There's the story of an employee who'd recently been diagnosed with diabetes and needed to see a doctor. Harper, also a diabetic, gave up his own appointment with a specialist in Hickory because his employee needed the medical attention more. That's how Harper was. He would do things so wonderful for people and didn't want any recognition for it, said Lisa Thompson, who's worked at Fairfield for 22 years. Harper's imprint remains indelible throughout the company. Along one wall of plant two, just above the workers trimming chairs and sofas with individually hammered nails, is this mantra: make every chair as though you were going to own it yourself. Ann Lindsay says her father cared deeply about the furniture Fairfield created because he knew it was going into people's businesses and homes to provide comfort, ease, and beauty in their lives. My dad listened more than he talked, treated everyone with respect, and quietly helped others, she said. He was a brilliant businessman who made bold moves that grew the company, but he was humble and quiet about his success. That approach to business earned the company the moniker Quiet Giant. In the foothills, where the furniture industry thrived throughout most of the 20th century, Fairfield flew under the radar. Some of the locals who work at Fairfield didn't know about the company until they applied for a job there. But even as the industry faltered in the early 2000s, the Bells stayed true to the family tradition, keeping furniture in Lenore. As Dixon Mitchell, the president and CEO of Fairfield, walks through the finishing department in Plant 2, skeletons of chairs dangle on a line like Christmas lights as workers spray them with the precision that only years of practice can render. "I'm not an ivory tower guy in my office," he says. "I'm managing by walking around, talking to the people, finding out the problems and the good things." A native of Hickory, Mitchell has spent 35 years in the furniture industry. He's seen companies come and go in the region, along with the devastating effects major closings have had on the community. To combat that, he's reinvigorated Fairfield during his 8 years there by launching a rebranding campaign, implementing a strategic plan, and upgrading equipment to state-of-the-art robotic machinery. He refers to Fairfield's business components as a three-legged stool. There's private label, making furniture for other companies that do the marketing. The commercial sector, country clubs, funeral homes, hospitality, and senior living, and conventional retail. While chairs with clean lines, rich upholstery, and meticulous finishes are still a big part of the business, Fairfield has evolved from its roots as a chair manufacturer. Today, it makes furniture for every room of the home, offering collections with mid-century influences as well as traditional pieces with modern flair. Inside plant number one, old lineberry carts loaded with freshly cut pieces of solid wood stand next to million-dollar machines. 27 people touch each piece of furniture before it leaves the plants. This mix of old and new, modern machinery combined with expert craftsmanship, demonstrates Fairfield's respect for the past and its anticipation for the future. "I have the philosophy that we need to work really hard, so we need to laugh, we need to enjoy each other," Mitchell says. He recalls the fun that co-workers have had together while competing in Halloween contests, breaking bread during the annual Thanksgiving barbecue dinner, and building floats for Lenore's Starry Night Christmas parade. Creating this kind of atmosphere builds trust, and Mitchell and Ann Lindsay both say that Fairfield's people are its greatest asset. In return, its employees are loyal to the company. Many of them say it's where they want to retire. "Everybody just helps everybody," says Sylvia Rourke, who leads the cutting department in Plant 2 and has worked for Fairfield for 46 years. Rourke takes her job seriously. She always wants to know which furniture her cut pieces are going to, but she also appreciates the fact that she can celebrate birthdays with coworkers. "They've been good to me, so I can't complain about working here whatsoever," she says. "I'm glad it's still going strong." That's the goal of Fairfield's leadership team, to keep everything going strong in Lenore. Back at Fairfield House, there's a photo that Ann Lindsay cherishes. It's Halloween, and she's 5 years old, wearing a furry gray mouse costume and snuggled up on her father's lap. Her father is dressed for the office in his pressed white shirt. His files and reports are put to the side as he sits on a circa 1970s couch, made by Fairfield, of course, playing with his daughter. One of the things she loved most about him was that he always made time for her. "My dad was a great leader, and I want so much to be like him. There are not that many great leaders in this world, and he just set such a beautiful example," she says. "That's what I want to follow." She's determined to carry on his legacy, to keep up the tradition of making furniture in Lenore. She knows he'd be proud. Moving away from the foothills for a moment and finishing up this podcast with a new column called North Carolina Noted, The tagline here is listening to the music that shaped our state's history, culture, and people. And this is out of Elk, and it's entitled Radio Hour. In the North Carolina Foothills, a music program and its talented host celebrates the diverse genres that have shaped our musical landscape. A hush falls across the auditorium as house lights dim over blue velvet curtains. The MC leans into a microphone at stage left and reminds the audience that tonight's program is being taped for broadcast. Please applaud, he instructs when his arm goes up. Then he begins speaking in the sing-song cadence of an old-time radio announcer. Welcome to the Martha Bassett Show, coming to you from the historic Reeves Theater in Elkin, North Carolina, a home for music in the heart of the foothills. His tone rises on the word home and heart, and when he gently lifts his arm, the crowd, a mix of gray-haired seniors and young adults, families with children, and couples on dates, enthusiastically claps. Over the next 2 hours, this majestic 1940s Art Deco-style theater, tucked into a small strip of shops and restaurants on West Main Street, will explode with music from across the region and around the world. A singer-songwriter from Greensboro, an experimental string trio formed in Belgium, a family bluegrass band from right here in Surrey County, and of course, Martha Bassett, the show's affable, bright-eyed namesake, will perform a few songs of her own and chat on stage with each artist in between sets. At the end, she'll corral all these disparate musicians back into the spotlight for a full cast finale of guitars, cello, fiddle, piano, pedal steel, and about 20 voices singing a rousing version of the Beatles, With a Little Help from My Friends. Since her debut live show in February 2018, Martha Bassett, with a lot of help from many friends, has taken her audiences back to simpler times, drawing from early radio shows like the Carolina Hayride, a popular country music barn dance broadcast out of Charlotte in the 1940s, as well as modern-day retro shows like Garrison Keillor's evocative A Prairie Home Companion. People travel to the Reeves Theater from all over the state to attend Martha's Thursday night tapings. Even more people listen to the Martha Bassett Show on 8 radio stations across the region, including WFDD-FM in the Winston-Salem area, every Saturday night. Earlier in the afternoon, Martha ducks into the theater's green room, where a spread of chicken, barbecue, and other snacks is laid out for the guest artists. She chats with the musician about the big closing song, one of her favorite parts of every show. During past performances, Martha has encouraged jazz guitarists to swing with banjo pickers, a trio of Brazilian vocalists, to sing harmonies on a rockabilly song, and an accordion player from Brooklyn to add his reedy keyboard flourishes to an old-time Appalachian folk ballad. The variety of musicians and storytellers she brings to this big stage in a small town is not like anything you'd experience anywhere else, but then Martha's not like anyone you'd meet anywhere else. Striking the right balance each week isn't easy, but somehow she pulls it off, because at every taping, when the lights go down and that soothing radio voice welcomes folks to the Martha Bassett Show at the historic Reeves Theater, time stands still. Well, that music means we've run out of time for today's episode of Our State Magazine. I hope you've enjoyed it and that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Martha Potter, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading is underwritten by Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974, and they can be reached at 781-1973, 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. For questions or comments, call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.